right. You know, one of the most discussed subjects in the Bible is angels, demons, and the devil. And there have been books written, there have been movies produced, podcasts made, sermons preached, taught, lessons taught about the existence of angels, demons, and Satan. It is also a subject in which one either believes in the existence of all three, or they deny the existence of all three, or they passively accept them as reality, but they do not stress the importance of the three. You know, in some cases, angels, demons, Satan is just believed to be superstitious. Believe that the devil is some sort of a creature red with horns and a bifurcated tail and a pitchfork. Well, that's not the devil at all. C.S. Lewis wrote a great book on Satan called The Screwtape Letters. And if you have never read it, I would encourage you to read it and reread it. Because the first time you read it, you're going to shake your head. What did I just read? And then you're going to have to read it again. And then again, because there is so much scripture in it and so much deep thought into it. And really what it is it is a conversation. So when C.S. Lewis wrote it, it was written in a conversation between Satan and one of his demons. And the demon's name is Wormwood. And Satan is telling Wormwood how to attack a Christian. And so really what it is C.S. Lewis is writing this book as an instruction book to Christians of how to look for Satan's attack upon Christians. But all three, angels, demons, Satan, they are all predominant in Scripture. All three are discussed. All three are emphasized, and all three exist. So let's now look at Revelation chapter 5, and let's look at verses 11 and 12. And we are going to use your Bibles a lot tonight, so this will be our verses that we're going to launch from, and then we're going to go through, as we go through each point tonight, we're going to start off with some facts, and then we'll get into some points. It says that I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. And that myriads of myriads simply means this. You can't count them. There's just so many that you can't count how many there were. It's saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." So angels are created spirit beings. They also have the power to become visible in the likeness of human form. Now here's a very easy definition, but I'm going to give you the easy definition and then I'm going to give you five facts. The easy definition is simply this. Angels are created spiritual beings with moral judgment and high intelligence, but without physical bodies. Now, that does not rule out the fact that an angel cannot become a physical body and then turn back into a spirit being. That has happened at times throughout Scripture. And in some cases, and we'll see tonight, that could happen even in today's world. So let me give you some facts. Okay, fact number one. The word angel simply means this, a messenger. A messenger. Second fact, the word angel is always used in the masculine form or the masculine gender. Now, why is that? Angels do not have sex. There is not a male angel and there is not a female angel. So that is why it is whenever in Scripture that it is gender neutral. It is always written in the masculine form, such as with God. He is always written in the masculine form. Okay, you following me here? Okay. Now, it must be remembered this, that sex in the human aspect of sex, of procreating and having offspring, unless you there are some false religions that do teach that angels are able to give offspring. But in a theological sense, of a true biblical sense, they are not able to give offspring. And sex in a human sense is never in Scripture ascribed to them. Now, there are some that believe that there were demons that were talked about in, I forget the exact, it's in Genesis 5 or 6, some believe that it was fallen demons that came down and had sexual relations with females and they produced offspring. There are so many areas of debate for that, and no one can really pinpoint what that exactly is. But we need to remember, though, that in heaven, Christ talked about it, that angels do not have any kind of sexual relations. Fact number three, or two things here. Angels have power that is inconceivable, but they are not all-powerful. So when an angel is given a job to do as far as a warrior angel, they can accomplish great powerful things, but they are not all-powerful like God is all-powerful. Such as in 2 Corinthians 19:35, where it says, "And it happened that night that the angel of the Lord went out, struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians, and when the rest got up early in the morning, behold, all of the 185,000 were dead." Okay? Secondly, angels' wisdom is extensive, but they are not all-knowing. Angels' wisdom is extensive, but they are not all-knowing. In 2 Samuel 14:20, "In order to change the appearance of things, your servant Joab has done this thing, but my Lord is wise like the wisdom of the angel of God." Now, this angel of God, where it says the angel of God, just like in 2 Kings 19:35 that I just read, and in 2 Samuel 14:20, that very well could be Christ. Because it says, the angel of God. So that very well could be a pre-incarnate form of Christ. To know all that is on the earth. Fact number four, the number of angels is great, but it is not limitless. There is a limit to the number of angels. Now, as we just read in the text tonight, that where it said myriads of myriads, there's just thousands of thousands of thousands of thousands of thousands of thousands, but it's not eternal. It doesn't go on and on and on and on and on. That there is a limit to the number of angels that have been created. And then we see in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 7, fact number 5, and that is man is made a little lower than the angels. A little lower. Now, Scripture mentions the ministry and nature of angels 108 times in the Old Testament, 165 times in the New Testament. So the Bible does not seek to prove the existence of angels. Listen, the Bible doesn't seek to prove anything. It doesn't seek to prove its existence. It doesn't seek to prove that it's inspired. It doesn't seek to prove that man was inspired by God to write the Scriptures. It is assumed. So it's not seeking to prove the existence of angels. It is assumed through the many times that it is referenced, 108 times in the Old Testament, 165 times in the New Testament, it is assumed then that they exist. You know, we don't have to prove that George Washington is the first president. Okay, don't have to prove it. It's assumed. Why? It's written in all the history books. So, the existence of angels is written in the Bible. We don't have to prove it. God doesn't have to prove it. We just have to assume it. Because whatever is written in God's Word, we assume that it is truth because God cannot lie. So let me give you a few things tonight with angels. Number one, let's talk about the description of angels. How are they described? Okay, this is where we're going to start not only listing down these things, we're going to use our Bibles some tonight. The description of them. First thing is this, they were created. They were created. Let's go to Job chapter 38, verse 7. Okay, so angels are created. Let's look at verse 7. They were created beings, and they were created before the beginning of creation. Okay, it says, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now, who are the sons of God? They are angels. So they were created before the beginning of creation. Now, here's something that we don't understand or we don't know. At what point were they created? We don't know. The Bible is silent on it. But although we do know this, they were created. They are not eternal. Only God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are the only three persons in one person that is eternal. Angels are not eternal. Let it be, they are incorporeal beings. What does it mean by this? Well, they are essential spirit beings. They are spirit beings. But also, in the Scriptures, they have at times appeared in physical form. We see that at times in the Old Testament. We see it in Psalm 104, verse 4, Genesis 19:1. Mark 1:26, John 20, verse 12, but also we see it. Now, this is the verse I alluded to a few moments ago. Let's go to the New Testament, to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. All right, you there with me? Okay. Okay, it says, now we do not know who wrote the book of Hebrews. Whoever wrote it had a unbelievable knowledge of the Old Testament, because there is so much in the Old Testament that is discussed in the book of Hebrews. But in verse 2 it says this, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. I think it says in the Authorized Version to entertain strangers. For by this some have entertained angels, the Authorized says, unawares. The New American Standard has it written, without knowing it. Without knowing it. So it's saying here, so whoever wrote Hebrews is saying here, that there may come a time in your life where you are given the opportunity to be a blessing to someone, and that someone may actually be an angel. And I heard one preacher say this, and I believe he is right about it, that God may have sent that angel in your path to test you and see how you would treat him. Okay? Now, how can I prove that by Scripture? I can't. But one thing we can say is this, that if we take the Word of God literally, like we should, then we have to remember that there will be a time or times. I think I told you this story. That when I was in kindergarten, we were living with my great-grandmother on Cumberland Street. Not Cumberland Road, but Cumberland Street, which goes from Murkison Road to Ramsey Street. We lived in a house right across the street from what is now Wiseman's Mortuary. That house is long gone. In fact, where Wiseman's has their garage, where they park their hearses and cars and whatnot, That's where my grandmother's house was, my great-grandmother's house was. And that's where we lived. And the school bus came to pick me up, and I went running across Cumberland Street, and here come a old pickup truck and did not care to stop. And as soon as I stepped onto Cumberland Street, that truck came barreling down. It was not going to stop for that school bus. And an elderly black gentleman that was walking down Cumberland Street reached over and grabbed me by the neck of my sweater or shirt or jacket, picked me up, sat me on the road, not even missing a step. Just reached down, grabbed me, sat me down, and kept on walking. That gentleman had never been seen. Now, my grandmother, great-grandmother, she knew everybody that walked up and down Cumberland Street. And they knew her. And they knew not to mess with her. Okay? So everybody that walked down Cumberland Street knew Miss Fleeta. And Miss Fleeta knew everybody. She had never seen that man before. And never saw him since. Now, this is Dwayne Smith-ology here. Okay? I honestly believe that man was an angel. Or he was sent there by God at that moment to keep me from becoming splattered. And I would have been splattered because evidently that dude was moving. Okay? Now, we need to remember that there will be times where an angel is put into human form as a test to us, possibly, to see how we would react. They are holy beings. Let us see, they are holy beings. We just read in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12 that all angels were originally created holy to praise God. It's also in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 3 where it says, holy, 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 how they're praising God and saying, holy, holy, holy. But now I want you to go in the New Testament to Jude verse 6. Right before the book of Revelation is that little, small, little book. One chapter book. So if you hear somebody say Jude chapter 2, they're lying. There is no Jude chapter 2. But it's Jude 6. So don't go looking for Jude chapter 6. All you got to do is look for the verse. So Jude 6 says this. And angels who did not keep their own dominion or their own creation, but abandoned their proper abode where they were properly placed. He has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Now, what is Jude talking about here? He is talking about that there is a dominion of demons that were created initially to praise God, but fell underneath the spell of Satan. Left heaven. Well, they didn't leave heaven. They got kicked out of heaven. There are still many that are still out and about. Just like Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, he is sending his minions out, such as C.S. Lewis described as that demon in called Wormwood in the book of Screwtape Letters. They are out trying to torment us, to tempt us. And in some cases, they're successful. But Jude talks about here that there is a dominion of demons that was so wicked, so vile, and so rotten that God would not even allow them to even do anything on earth. That when they got kicked out of heaven, they were kicked immediately into hell. They are that vile, that perverted, that twisted, that they were sent immediately into hell. Now, they will be released at judgment day, and then they will be judged and then sent right back to the abyss of hell. Now, quickly, let's keep on going here. Letter D is they are personal beings. That is, that they have a personality, they have an intellect, they have an emotion, and they have a will. So they can think. They have emotion, they praise God, and they also have a will. Many of them exercise their will to stay loyal to God. Some exercise their will and they left God, followed Satan, but they have a will. And then angels are created with an intellectual ability and considered to be wise. And we just read that in 2 Samuel 14:20. They are deathless beings. They will never die. They will always live. And then they are unseen. They are unseen beings. Now, let me answer a couple of questions here. Or let me answer one question. I'm going to give you two answers to it. Okay, how many of you have ever been to a Roman Catholic church? Okay? You know they worship angels. Okay? That's why you see them. Okay? Worship the Virgin Mary, they worship angels, they worship saints, they pray to saints, they do all those things. Why are angels not physically visible to us? Well, there's two reasons. Number one, to keep man from worshiping them. If we saw an angel, as far as we saw, you know, a glowing human being with wings and a halo on the head, God knows our hearts, and we would have a tendency to worship them. So whenever there has been an angel on earth, it has been very quick and very temporary. Secondly, if visible, man's faith would be in the visible rather than the invisible. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says that our faith is the substance of things unseen. That we cannot see God. We cannot see Christ. We cannot see the Holy Spirit. We cannot see Him, but we must believe that He is. So now let me give you number two, that is the names and categories of angels. The names and categories of angels. Okay, there's the cherubim, and there's the seraphim. That's it. That's the categories. Names and categories. There's the cherubim, and then there's the seraphim. They're divided up into these two parts. The cherubim is the ones that are the protector. The seraphim is the ones that are in charge of worship. The cherubim and the seraphim. And then there are also the living creatures. Now we just read, I had never understood this until I studied it this past week. We just read in our text, it talked about the angels, the myriads, and the angels. And then it also gives the cherubim, the seraphim, and then it also gives the living creatures. How many of you have, besides me, now I know I'm curious, and I'm very curious, and I want to know. Okay, so I'm always reading, searching. I got books stacked all over the house. Okay, now I often wonder, what is this talking about with the living creatures? What's that talking about? Any of you know the living creatures? It's the animals. It's all of the animals. It is all the creatures that God created. So on that day that we just read in our introductory text, it's going to be all of the angels, the cherubim, the seraphim, and all of the living creatures that God created. Okay? It's going to be a symphony of all of the angels singing together. And it's also going to be all of the living creatures singing and praising God together. So just think, every animal, every creature that God has created, at that moment, they're all going to gather together and praise God. So we have the cherubim, the seraphim, and the living creatures. Now, what about their rank and their order? Their rank and their order. Okay, heard the subject or the name archangel mentioned. There is only one archangel, and that's Michael. Okay, he is the only archangel. It is mentioned four times in Scripture. The first time is in Jude 9, where it says, "But Michael, the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.'" So he has the rule and authority over all of the angels. So we could really say, in military terms, he's the five-star general. He's the one that rules over all of the angels. He is also, in Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, he is called one of the chief princes. In Revelation 12, 7 and 8, he will be the leader of the angelic army. And then in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, when the Lord returns, he will return with the call of the archangel. Now let me tell you how sneaky I was in high school. All right? There was me and Doug Stevens. Okay, y'all will meet Doug, hopefully, at a Good Friday service. Doug played the trumpet. And in Bible class, we were going through the last days. So Ted Corlick was our Bible teacher, and he was teaching us about the rapture and all those things, and how the angels and all that, and the archangel and all this. Well, we'd always gather in this great big room. It's the fellowship hall at Berea. Well, that was our learning center. That's where we all had school. It was like one big room schoolhouse. And if we got Bible time, we'd grab our chairs and we'd walk over, and Ted Corlick would get up on a little podium. He was behind a little pulpit here, and he would teach Bible. Well, he opened up in prayer. Well, Doug and me were the ringleaders of this. Well, we got Doug to hide behind, there was like a partition that was right behind him. Well, Doug got in the back of him, and as Ted Corlick began to pray, and he actually prayed for the Lord's return. Well, when he said those words, Doug began to blow his trumpet. Yep. And Ted Corlick went, and I kid you not, he turned that shade of white. He thought the rapture was happening. So, of course, all of us started jumping up and down like we were trying to jump up into heaven. You know? But I don't know why I got off on that. Sorry about that. I just thought about it, the call of the trumpet, and I was thinking about Doug Stevens with his trumpet. And then here come Doug out from behind the thing with his trumpet, kind of looking at everybody. Now let's go to number four. I got a few minutes here. All right, number four is the place of angels in God's purpose. I found this very interesting this past week as I studied all this. You know, angels show the greatness of God's love and plan for us. Now, how is that? Because human beings and angels are the only moral, highly intelligent creatures that God has made. I'll just let your mind dwell on that for a moment. Human beings and angels are the only moral, highly intelligent creatures that God has made. Okay, you ever seen a animal design a skyscraper, put a car together, fix a car? No, they can't. They don't have that mental capability. But people do. Angels also have a highly intelligent, but their intelligence is limited. But human beings or angels are the only moral, highly intelligent creatures that God has made. And then there's the second thing. Angels are never mentioned in Scripture as being made in the image of God. Only human beings are. Thirdly, and we mentioned this at the very beginning, angels are not able to bear children. But human beings are. And there's a fourth one. Angels are proof that God loves us more than angels. because there are many angels that have sinned but can never be redeemed. Their existence is doomed. Christ didn't die for an angel. Christ didn't shed His blood for an angel. Christ died, shed His blood for a human being, for people, for those that were created in the image of God. And then there's another thing. Angels remind us that the unseen world is real. The unseen world is real. This is 2 Kings 6:17, where I believe it was Elijah. In fact, let's go there real quick. We got a couple of minutes. 2 Kings 6:17. Yes, it was Elisha. I want to say Elijah. I always get the two mixed up. Okay, Elisha had a prayer where, and he asked God, could you open my eyes and see what is going on in the supernatural world? It says that then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, I pray, or I'm asking you, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Who were these horses and chariots of fire? These were angels. Now, once again, there are different categories of angels. There are worshiping angels, but then there are also warrior angels. And these warrior angels, we could honestly say they are our guardian angels. They are the ones that God has assigned to protect His people. And that is exactly what Elijah is asking. Will you show my servant what is going on out there in the supernatural world? And that is that there are angels that are warriors that are sent to protect us. So the unseen world that we can't see, it is a real world. That there is warfare going on out there between demons and angels. Between the minions of Satan and the warrior angels of God. And angels are examples for us. They're great examples for us. They're examples of obedience. The ones that were disobedient got kicked out of heaven and can never be redeemed. The ones that were obedient stayed in heaven, blessed by God, rewarded, and will be the ones that will stay in heaven. And then they also worship. Okay, what happens when Christians are obedient? We're blessed. What happens when we worship? We're blessed. Then also, angels carry out some of God's plans. See that all throughout Scripture. And even some today carry out God's plans. And then angels directly glorify God. And there will be a day where we also will be with the angels and directly glorify God. Next week, we'll get into the doctrine of demons and Satan. Is where we'll get into that next week. All right, any questions at all tonight? Any comments? Anything at all? Was it pretty clear tonight? There was a whole lot more that I really wanted to get, but this is just the bare surface. Anything at all? All right, well, let's pray and be dismissed. Thank you for being here tonight, and you're a blessing to me by being here tonight. All right, let's pray. Father, we are very thankful, Father, that You have created us a little lower than the angels. We're also very thankful, Father, that You have created angels to worship You and to glorify You. That You have created angels that one day will all gather together and worship Your name, worship Christ. And that we will all gather together and worship You and worship Christ. And Father, we also thank you, Father, for those angels that are out there that are working hard to protect us from the darkness. And now, Father, I pray now that as we are dismissed, I pray, Father, that we will dismiss with your blessing. And Father, as we go into the work week, help us, Father, to be fruit-bearing Christians, to bear fruit to a lost and dying world so that they may be truly converted and trust Christ as their Lord and their Savior. And may we also pray, Maranatha, and that it is come quickly, Lord Jesus. And in the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Well, have a great week. We'll see you all back here on Wednesday. Oh, by the way, I mentioned this to a couple of y'all. I failed to tell the end of the story today about the car wreck. She's fine. Okay? Faye wasn't in here, so you missed the story. The mother in the car wreck, she's fine. So, all right.